is nothing new in the world of sales, except for the history you do not know. Welcome to the Sales History Podcast, bringing the brilliant and sometimes strange minds, methods, and ideas from the sales profession's past with applications to today. Here is your host, best-selling author of The Transparency Sale and The Transparent Sales Leader, keynote speaker, trainer, and nerd, Todd Capone.
Over the past few weeks, there's been a lot of talk of what's going on from a macroeconomic perspective and the layoffs, the pressures that selling organizations are facing today, and a lot of talk about how little the number of individuals had made their quota in 2022, yet there are companies that are still raising sales quotas for 2023. So me being the nerd that I am, I couldn't let that go. I wanted to dig into the history of sales quotas, how they were determined, how they were focused, and the way that they were structured. And so today, I want to take you into one area that was a head slapper for me. And we're going to do a second part where I'm going to talk about original structures of quotas and variable compensation because it's different than today. However, there is one thing that really struck me that I believe they did correctly back anywhere from 75 to 100 years ago. So mid-1920s to the mid-1950s that we get wrong today. And a lot of the research for today, while I've got tons of books that have got all kinds of insights, including a book from the 1950s called Salesman's Compensation, this specific episode is really going to be drawn from a joint meeting of the American Management Association and the American Statistical Association. They had a meeting in 1926 that took place in New York. And a significant topic was about sales quotas. There was a line that struck me when I first started reading it. And the line said, "It is far better that the quota be right than that it be simple." And I thought, all right, that's interesting. I want to dig into this. And the prevailing idea for the whole conference and the whole discussion was that quotas need to be correct. A guy named Donald R.G. Cohen of a company called Swift & Company, during his talk at the conference, said this: "Sales quotas are more likely to be accepted wholeheartedly by the sales force when there is definite proof that a given factor does influence the sales of a commodity and when the weight to be assigned to it is not determined by individual opinion or guesswork." Huh, that was interesting. So, 1926, how was this done? Here's the interesting thing, and bear with me because I think there's a real head slapper that we should all be considering today. Back then, organizations hired market analysts, or what was sometimes called sales quota specialists, and these individuals used all available data to calculate territory-specific quotas. Yes, instead of top-down, everyone in a similar role gets the same quota, these analysts looked at the circumstances of each territory and calculated quotas accordingly. So think about, what are we talking about in terms of data? Well, let's say you're selling a commodity like butter. The analysis would determine territories by the percentage of population in an area, with quotas using data around nationality and their proclivity to use butter, right? Butter consumption. Let's say you're selling clothing. They would look at territories and quotas based on potentially things like climate trends by region. You're selling advertising. They had studies on territories where a greater percentage of that population actually reads ads. It could also include, remembering that this was the 1920s, data around the percentage of a regional population who are literate. Using available banking data or IRS data, there were studies that were done on net purchasing power from available net deposits, or even the total number of corporate tax returns in a region. Quotas used data regarding cost of living indices in a region Another important metric was population density, which had an impact on an in-market salesperson's efficiency, right? If it was dense, they could see more people in a day versus ones that are more rural or spread out. There's an individual, I wish I knew his first name, his initials are HG, last name Weaver, of General Motors, right? The automotive company. And when he spoke, he said something that was also pretty compelling, and it was, "I have little patience with the ready-made hand-me-down quota. There is no panacea. If it is wrong, I don't care how simple it is, it will not stay sold, even if you are able to sell it in the first place." And by sell it, I'm talking about selling it to the salespeople as something that's attainable and realistic. It's 2023. Much is being shared about that idea that, gosh, we've got such a problem in quota setting to where there's a low percentage of salespeople who actually achieved in 2022. And like I said earlier, even worse is the number of companies that are raising quotas in 2023 is pretty surprising too. So here's the head-slapping question for you and for me that I really need to dig into, and I hope that we can all start to think about this. With the proliferation of information and data types available, combined with the tools that are now available to make sense of it versus 1926, do you find it confusing that we actually do less today? I mean, 100 years ago, more effort was made to ensure quotas were as accurate as possible, that they were realistic, that they were attainable. There was data available, but less access to such data to make those types of estimates. Making sense of data was a massive manual effort back then, as less technology was available to make sense of it, right? You didn't have Excel spreadsheets, Google Sheets, there was no Tableau or Python. You just had like a crude old school calculator, it might have been from the Burroughs adding machine, right? And you had to figure out how you were going to make sense of this, and it all had to happen manually. At the beginning of each quota period, back then, there was a one-on-one between the leader, maybe that sales quota specialist, and the one-on-one, like with the rep, focused on educating them specific to their territory on the portion of the market that we can reasonably expect to get. So essentially, alignment with the sales individual that, hey, here's the quota, here's why we believe it to be correct, here's all the data that we crunched to make that happen, what do you think? So alignment around the quotas that were territory specific. Now, like I said, I'm going to do another episode on this idea that compensation was structured a bit differently, but fundamentally the point was the same. This is the expectation as to what is reasonable to expect from you during this quota period from your territory. Do you agree? Yeah? All right, well then let's go. Specific, shared. Why did we stop doing this? As a CRO myself, we did top-down, everyone gets the same quota by role. For example, my enterprise reps. If I had six enterprise reps around the country, they'd each get the same target. So in hindsight, I was even getting this wrong. Now, while some leaders took last year's quota and simply tacked on 5 to 20% onto this current year, this practice back then was severely frowned upon. And again, I'm guilty. In 1926, here was Weaver from General Motors again, commenting on that practice, stating that it, quote, amounts to using the thing to be measured as the measuring stick of itself. That's a funny line to me. Now, in today's era, you hear the term data scientist. They're in, they're available, you can get access to them. And the ROI is likely very high to making investments in individuals like that. As a matter of fact, Weaver's thought during this, his speech on hiring a sales quota specialist is that this individual provides the value of, quote, setting quotas, which could be accepted as a standard of accomplishment for the salesperson and as a basis for the redistribution of sales energy on a more economical basis. So the way he looked at it was not only that alignment and engagement, but can we use that data to make sure that our territories are allocated properly and that there's a good balance? And I don't think we're really doing that today. Today, we're doing less with more. Quota attainment is down, and it's not just due to the economy. I would argue that in most cases, organizations are doing the minimum to calculate and assign those quotas. When a target is set that isn't sold to the salesperson at the beginning of the quota period or the year, and that salesperson feels as though it is unattainable, there's no faster path to disengagement, right? Their intrinsic inspiration goes in the toilet. The salesperson probably sleeps less, has their eyes open for their next opportunity, and may or may not leave. So lower engagement, lower attainment, higher turnover. Add to it the idea that the blowhorn by which sellers can now share their disdain for an organization on everything from Glassdoor to RepView, it also means slower time to hire and potentially a lower caliber of inbound applications or people that are applying for your jobs. In 1947, so a few years later, the U.S. Department of Commerce actually wrote a book on sales, which is super interesting. It was published as a public service to help small businesses following World War II, but really to also help return vets who inevitably will find their peacetime vocation in some phase of selling and distribution. In it, the book included a creed of standards by which all sales managers, which is what they were really called, sales leaders at the time, that all of them should follow. On a list, number 11 read as follows. If quotas are used, salesmen should know how their figures have been determined, and B, the quotas shall be based on reliable, seasoned personal evaluation of accurate and adequate criteria. It's clear to me that the process of setting quotas today isn't right. I mean, between 1920 and 1950, they were doing so much more with so much less. Is it time to rethink the new tradition of top-down, one-size-fits-all quota setting in favor of the original tradition from 75 to 100 years ago, which is careful analysis, quotas that are accurate, quotas that are territory specific, and territories that are aligned with the individual salesperson so that they are bought in and ready to go after it? What do you think? I found this to be super interesting. And again, I think the opportunities are there. The data is right out there for the taking. We just need to make more investments in making sure that we're well aligned. And I think we can get back to that higher engagement level, higher quota attainments, and reps that sleep better at night, they stay longer, and they become advocates for you and your organization. What do you think? As always, I would love to hear your feedback on what we've talked about here today. Other ideas, I'm always welcome and welcoming those. And again, more to come on quota structures and how variable comp was originally designed. But until next time, thanks again for tuning in. Hope you enjoyed it, and share if you think that others might find this interesting. All right, thanks.